Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Howdy, and welcome to my 8th attempt at doing the introduction to this episode of Wiki Shuffle.
Hey!
My name's Jack. This is Chris.
Hello.
This is Phil.
8th time's the charm.
Keeping it simple this time round. Should we do a Wiki Shuffle?
Yeah.
But what is it? What is a Wiki Shuffle?
That's not a conversation.
Nine? Phil, what is it?
No, we have to keep going. I'm not saying hello again. Whatever this happens, we're finishing.
What is a Wiki Shuffle, Chris? Tell us what it is.
A Wiki Shuffle is when we press the random article on Wikipedia and see what happens, and we just chat about it, and then you send us stuff, and we go, oh, that's good, and then we tell you we like you. Go.
You can only imagine how bad the previous 7 attempts were that we're considering this one acceptable.
This one's fine.
Oh,
go.
Can we do
the music.
Can we do it again, please?
Zayn Malik.
I know this man.
No, as if that came up by random.
Hey, don't. If the cosmos wants us to talk about something, it's what the cosmos wants.
In fact, to be fair, do you know who he is?
I don't know that I'd have known how to spell his name to look it up. I'm vaguely... He's one of the boys, isn't he? he's one of the boys.
He's one of the boys.
From One Direction.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Not anymore,
was
though.
He's one of the boys.
Oh.
This is very topical because he's just about to release a new album.
Ah.
Solos.
So people might be listening to this think that maybe that he's bunged us a few quid to feature him. I think that's what they might think, that we've taken on a lucrative sponsorship deal from Zayn Malik. I can assure the listeners that that has not happened. But that said, if there are any Zayn Malik dollars out there that want to find their way in this direction, feel free to send them over. Mm. And we'll try and portray you in a positive light. Will we? I know nothing about this man.
He's the most grumpy of One Direction, and he's the most handsome of One Direction. That's all you need to know. Sort of like me... The One Direction version of me.
Right.
Grumpy and handsome.
Just go with it.
Yeah, if you like.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Alright.
He also has the same birthday as me. Just 5 years. 5 years younger than me.
That's fun.
Well, he's very successful, man.
Interesting. Did you know that before looking at this article?
No.
Ah, but
now. Only Mel C had the same birthday as me. Musically talented, all of us.
Chris, you've had 5 years longer on this earth than Zayn Malik. What do you think you've achieved that he hasn't?
Podcasts?
That's probably true. I mean, he might have been on a couple, but there's no way he's done 61. He's got 5 years to catch up there.
BTEC?
What's your BTEC in?
I think he's IT or something. I don't even know.
You don't remember?
No, I've forgotten all this. Does anyone remember?
No.
Exactly. I don't remember what I got in anything. I don't even know if I got anything. I think I did.
Did you? You only did AS, didn't you? AS level.
And then I just decided to go. I did art. We did all right. And I did media. Did that well. Don't know about anything else. I think I just sat in one of like the block
the
bits
chill
and
out still, areas,
one of the
yeah.
chill out areas and just waited for different people to walk past and then just had chats.
That's pretty much what I did as well.
Yeah, me too, but 10 years earlier.
Yeah, Top Pink was our bit.
Mm, Top Pink.
Yeah, in between blue and green for me.
Oh, you're some sort of freak.
This is only relevant to
I mean, I remember that bit. That was
a
fine bit.
Time.
But yeah,
it was
Top Pink was the way to go.
Let's talk about Zayn Javad Malik. Javadd is his middle name. So the official name of his spelling of his name is Zayn Zayn, and yet he's known by Zayn Zayn.
Cookie. Because it's cooler. Maybe you should
Y's
become
cool.
Phyl.
Philip. Philip.
Philip. But you'd just be called Philip, but it'd be cool. It's not. There's no way you can make Philip cool.
Such is my curse. Zayn Javad Malik, born 12th of January 1993. I'll put that in so people can now deduce what your birthday is and you'll get extra presents next year, Chris.
Put that in your diaries.
He is an English singer and songwriter. In 2010, Malik auditioned as a solo artist for the British reality television music competition, The X Factor. After being eliminated as a solo performer, Malik was brought back into the competition along with Harry Styles, Niall Horan, Liam Payne. What should it be? What? Correct me.
Just like you reading out One Direction.
So do it again, please.
Harry Styles, Niall Horan, Liam Payne, and Louis Tomlinson.
Uh-huh. What did they do?
They formed the boy band One Direction.
What do you think about One Direction?
What's your favourite song?
What's your favourite bit?
Come on, Phil. Come on.
We're giving you an opportunity.
Come on.
Let me scroll down a bit.
This is an opportunity for you to prove how hip you are.
I really like Up All Night.
What a gimp.
Take Me Home. I like Take Me Home.
Oh, my God. That's embarrassing. Kiss You is the best one, obviously.
I haven't got down to where they've mentioned that one yet. Zayn Javad Malik, born 12th of January 1993.
Can you read out the Urdu translation of Zayn Javad Malik, please?
I don't think I can. Well, no, it's probably the same, isn't it? It's just Zayn Javad Malik. It's just written in squiggle. That's not disrespectful. That's all writing is that.
Uh-huh.
Zayn Javad Malik was born on 12th of January 1993 in Bradford, West Yorkshire, England. His father, Yasser Malik, is British Pakistani, and his mother, Trisha Brannan Malik, is English and part Irish and converted to Islam upon marriage. He has one older sister, Donia, and two younger sisters, Walia and Safar. He is also a second cousin to Canadian singer Sham Idris. Does anyone know who Sham Idris is? Is she famous as well?
No, you don't need to worry about her, Phil.
Okay, good. To be fair,
starters, it's a male.
Oh, really?
Oh, YouTube personality. Yeah, that's... See, now we're in the stage, Phil.
One of those.
Where that's not even us anymore. It's so beyond you. You're practically prehistoric. We're old now. You're like cave paintings.
You're like a massive turtle.
No relevance.
A turtle as big as a car.
In 2010, 17-year-old Malik auditioned in Manchester for the seventh series of reality television competition, The X Factor. He sang Let Me Love You by Mario as his audition song. Mario from the Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, yep. Phil. Yep.
Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
He used to be Mario and Luigi, and then they broke up, and he started his solo career.
Feel like you're mocking me.
No, of course not, Phil. Why would you do that
first, Mario and Luigi were Super Mario Bros.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When will I be plumber? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then Mario went solo.
Title. Yeah. Mario is much more successful on his own.
Because he's not an archetypal sex symbol.
Mario? Well, yeah, he is. He's a plumber with a massive moustache.
And that's what the kids like these days. That's what millennials are into.
It's not what millennials are into, but it's what 70s porn showcases.
Yeah, but this was 2010.
I don't know what you're all talking about.
I'm basically saying I don't know how the song Let Me Love You by Mario goes. Would you like to do a little excerpt from me?
I don't know
me?
Either.
We probably...
Oh, right, I see. So you're basically trying to hide from the fact that you are as ignorant as me on this particular...
No, about Mario, who cares?
Yeah, no one cares.
No one cares.
Everyone cares about Zayn Malik. No one cares about Mario. This is why you're old.
I don't see how you get to decide that and I don't. Why?
Because it's our generation.
That nobody cares. Well, we've just proven that it isn't.
No,
you're a full 5 years older than he is. Granddad.
You can't even try it with me, Phil.
No.
Come on, it's just embarrassing for yourself.
I know, you're so cool and you've clearly got your finger so firmly on that pulse that just to suggest otherwise
exactly.
is laughable. Exactly. I apologise. Upon auditioning for The X Factor, Malik stated that he was looking for an experience. He was eliminated before the final round of the competition, but judges Nicole Scherzinger and Simon Cowell... That's her name! I know who that is! She's a pussycat doll!
Nicole Scherzinger.
Scherzinger, that's her name.
And Simon Cowell. I know who she is. She's a pussycat
Simon,
doll.
Simon Cowell.
But judges Nicole Scherzinger and Simon Cowell grouped him with fellow competitors Harry Styles, Niall Horan.
Here we go.
This is going to take ages. Would one of you two youngsters like to read this article out instead?
No.
Maybe you'll be a bit more street about
it. No, you read it.
Is that the problem? You'll be a bit more hip to the groove.
No, just keep going. It's fine.
Keep going.
But judges Nicole Scherzinger and Simon Cowell.
How do you say it?
Nicole Scherzinger.
No, you changed it
there. I did change it there. I might have said Scherzinger.
So that was it. That's okay. Why it was funny.
But judges Nicole Scherzinger and Simon Cowell grouped him. Is that how I should speak? Is that how you want me to speak?
You
with some
you feel.
Estuary English, slack jawed,
even
lazy
now,
accent.
Estuary. Phil.
Come on, get through the sentence.
You're becoming a parody of yourself.
But judges Nicole Scherzinger and Simon Cowell grouped him with fellow competitors Harry Styles, Neil Horan, Liam Payne, and Louis to form.
Doesn't even get a surname. That's more embarrassing. What
to
you just
form
did
a new act for the remainder of the show. The boy band would become to be known as One Direction. The group quickly gained popularity in the UK, finished in third place, and was subsequently signed by Cowell to a reported 2 million Psycho record contract. What? They had record contracts in my time.
I don't even know what's funny, but it just is. I remember Zayn when he was on this. I remember him specifically because this was the height of the X Factor's fame.
Yeah, I probably was still watching it then.
Zayn was put through into the final, like the boys' boot camp, and he would just refuse to do anything like dancing, anything that would make him look uncool, he refused to do. And it was very obvious from that moment the boy band life just wasn't for him.
He would be the difficult one.
He'd be the difficult one, and lo and behold,
there's
he
a
was.
Picture here from 2011. Malik with One Direction on the X Factor live tour in 2011, and this is me. I couldn't tell you which one's which in this picture, but I know now what Zayn Malik looks like. I can tell from that picture that he is the least charismatic of the band.
Yeah, but he's the most handsome, so he can glide
through it.
Yeah,
but there's
a
bolshiness about him. You can just see it, can't you?
I like the guy. I think he's probably my favourite one.
Do you think?
Yeah. Who's yours?
It's really hard. I don't think I've got a favourite.
Well, it's not. I mean, Harry Styles looks like Gollum with a wig.
Harry Styles is definitely not my favourite.
A permed Gollum.
I feel like these are the kind of statements that are going to get us hate mail.
Oh, we're definitely going to get hate for this.
Okay, right, fine.
You just have to accept
Let's
it.
Call them out on the Twitters.
What, One Direction?
Yeah.
See call happens. Them out?
Yeah.
Do you want to come and play? We're going up the recce.
No, call them out, we're going to attack them. Yeah. We're going to say, well, Directioners, you suck.
Do you know that?
And the real boy band is the Wiki Shuffle guys. And yeah. Which one is your favourite? And everyone will say, not Phil.
I've never watched an episode of X Factor.
Oh, shut up.
I've never watched an episode
You've
of X Factor.
Never watched an episode of X Factor.
No.
Phil, you don't exist.
So you don't know what lockdown means? In
Deadlock. Deadlock.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. You're one of him.
I'm going to be out of the club.
What
how
does lockdown
does,
deadlock mean?
How does one get through life without seeing at least one episode of The X Factor? Surely you've seen it in passing.
I'm aware of its existence, but it's not for me, is it?
Yes, it's exactly for you. Mm. Making snide little comments on Twitter, that's the whole point.
But that seems mean. These are children.
Yeah, but in this day and age, we're mean now.
Yeah, we're mean.
We're mean.
Do you remember Jedward?
Yeah.
Do you remember Wagner?
Yeah.
Do you remember One Direction?
Yeah.
Do you remember Alexandra Burke? Leona Lewis?
See,
Ridian?
I don't know that.
Ridian!
Ridian!
These things were like horses.
Have you heard of Cheryl Cole?
Cheryl Fernandez Fassini?
Cheryl Tweedy?
Cheryl Crow?
So, explain to Phil, like, what happened with One Direction? They won it.
No, they came third.
Oh, well, they won in general because they're the biggest boy band in the world. So they won
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but that's not what you were talking about, is it?
No, but they won it.
So who beats?
I think Rebecca Ferguson came second.
Who?
And yeah, first well, was we that, all say that now.
First was that prick, Matt Cardle.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the end, Harry Styles, who was 16 at the time... You saw him whisper and you could read his lips on the TV broadcast. You couldn't hear him, but you could tell what he was saying by his lips. He said, just think of all the pussy you're going to get, mate. Which was charming.
For a 16-year-old boy.
For a 16-year-old boy. Nice. And funnily enough, Matt Cardwell has not had any, I don't think. He's disappeared off the face of the earth. He's not had a sniff.
So you didn't...
sorry, that's not the right word.
Do you not even know about Jorgen Quigg?
Who?
Jorgen Quigg.
Diana Vickers.
I feel like you're taking the mickey now.
Jorgen Quigg.
Jorgen Quigg.
Jorgen Quigg.
Jorgen Quigg was on The X Factor. And he was a little boy from Ireland. He was about 8. And when Diana Vickers got voted off, he cried. And it was hilarious.
It was funny.
But you're laughing at an 8-year-old child.
Yeah, he wasn't 8. He was like about 9 or 10.
When me,
that's not the threshold at which that becomes acceptable.
He's crying because he liked her and it was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Sounds horrific.
It was really funny. Nobody liked him though because he had a stupid name and he did a stupid phone face. Like, you know when people put the phone up to their face, like the imaginary phone.
So when he was hosting it at the time,
Dermot O'Leary.
Yeah, when Dermot was hosting it, he's saying, "Oh, if you want to vote for Jorgen, ring this," and he'll do this with like his hand to his ear like a phone, and he'd do a face like he was like confused about how the phone worked.
Because he's from Ireland.
And he's a 9-year-old child.
Yeah, he
got votes, and then the nation as a whole would come together and gang up on him, and he lost. And then he also lost the girl because she lost. He was unhappy,
and she was way too good for him.
Oh, it was hilarious.
She went on to do better things.
Yeah,
he went back to Ireland
to cry.
Yeah.
And who cares?
Oh, he released an album as well, but no one liked it.
He released an album about MySpace.
Yes,
and called 43,000 Friends or something like that.
Yeah. And we all thought it was funny, so we made fun of him again. And then Diana Vickers released quite good songs, and she did well for a bit. And I think now she does all right. I don't know what she's doing.
She's pretty good. So do you feel like you're up to speed?
Yeah. Do you know?
I feel like I have made the correct life choices in never watching The X Factor.
No.
No?
No, because it's really good. It's very funny over the years.
Everything that you've told me has reaffirmed the snap judgment I'd made.
That's weird.
What about when Louis said there was a young black contestant and Louis said that he reminds him of a young Lenny Henry? Like, nothing like Lenny Henry. There was nothing about him that suggested Lenny Henry.
Wow.
Just a quick one. Because there's another important factor you need to know about The X Factor. You know Louis Walsh and all how funny he is. And every time he gets disappointed, they kick him off and then he ends up coming back to get someone else in. He quit once. Because he didn't like something that was going on. And they got this dancer guy in, and he was rubbish. Then, on the next episode, they flew Louis back in. I was like, oh, I'm back, it's Louis. But he's funny, and he loves all the little Irish people. If you're Irish, Louis.
You're getting through.
Yeah.
He's very biased towards the Irish people.
Yeah.
Is this like wrestling, in that all the judges are like...
characters.
What's the two terms in wrestling?
Heel and face.
Heels and faces. Is that what the judges are all like?
Yeah, Simon Cowell is like the mega heel. He's the Vince McMahon owner, corporate bad guy kind of.
Is Cheryl
kind of
the face?
She's sort of a tweener, which is like halfway between face and heel. I think she's kind of a Roman Reigns. A lot of the children will cheer him. Or John Cena. A lot of children will cheer him, but the adults all think that she's an awful prick. Then you've got like Danny Minogue, straight up face. Nicole Scherzinger, she's a face. Louis Walsh is like the ultimate babyface. Everyone loves him because, you know, he's just harmless. He's a little idiot and you just want to cuddle him.
Where does David Hasselhoff fall into all of this?
He was on Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, God!
You knew that!
Distinguishably, I kind of did. But I don't know how to tell the difference from them in a lot of other ways because it's just the same thing, isn't it?
No, I don't like Britain's Got Talent.
Britain's Got Talent's got dogs and stuff.
What are we doing? What article are we doing? Same now. I think you've learned as much as you can.
Yeah, you know now more than any other dinosaurs I know.
Well done.
Yeah, you've absorbed as much X Factor information as you possibly can.
You know that Let's Simon Cowell's on. A lot older than me, don't you?
Nope.
No.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's true. Not certain, but pretty sure. In March 2015, so we're bringing this right up to date now, Malik was seen at a London recording studio with producer Naughty Boy. Am I supposed to take that seriously?
Oh, God.
Leading to speculation of the pair working on music together. Following his departure from One Direction, Malik alluded to the potential of a solo career with the release of his first solo studio album to be released under the Psycho label in 2016. On March 31st, 2015, Naughty Boy released on SoundCloud an early demo of the song I Won't Mind, said to feature Malik. Couldn't quite be sure.
Oh, it's a rumour.
I know he released Pillow Talk recently, which is his first big single, and his album's on the way. And it all, I mean, he left One Direction stating that he never enjoyed the musical direction, thought it was too poppy, and then he's went and released a single, which is not a million miles away from Justin Bieber's current output.
He
seems a bit of a hypocrite.
Sorry, Chris, he's got a tattoo on his face.
He's got a tattoo on his face.
Yeah, this is new. This only came out the other day.
Since when?
Like, really recently.
Since the other day, because that's what you just said.
Yeah, no, honestly.
He's got a tattoo on his face.
Talk me through it.
Last night on Twitter, there was an Instagram picture, and he's got a tattoo on his face.
What's the tattoo of? Where on his face?
It says mum.
It says mum.
Shut up.
Honestly.
Zayn Malik has a tattoo on his face. Whereabouts on his face? Because there's quite a lot of real estate there. On the temple saying mum.
Yeah.
I'm Googling it right now.
While you're looking that up, I'll read.
Wow, he does. He has a mum tattoo on his head. Holy shit.
That's a really new development.
That can't be real.
Let me see.
Well, there's rumours.
No.
What a silly boy.
It might not be real.
It might not be real.
But it's hard to know.
The caption of the picture is "like I would," which sort of is kind of a colloquial term for.
And he's got a single.
There's no way I would do this.
No, I understand how the English language works.
I'm just saying that in case, because I don't imagine that would translate to.
Okay. But, yeah. And BuzzFeed will snap that up pretty quick. Yeah. Might not be real. Current affairs for 2 weeks ago.
Malik cites urban music as his main musical influence, having grown up predominantly with R&B, hip-hop and reggae, as well as bop and Bollywood music.
What's Do you know bop? What bop is?
No, what's bop?
Are you serious? You don't know what bop is? Charlie Parker and stuff.
No, that's bebop.
Well, that's what it means, doesn't it? Let's click on it. Yeah, that's what it means, bebop.
Get rid of unnecessary letters.
Yeah, get rid of the B.
Get rid of the O then, just call it boop.
Yeah, can we do that?
Just did.
Okay, good.
Malik originally auditioned to be a solo R&B singer before becoming part of One Direction. His R&B singing style stood out compared to the band's pop style. He later cited creative differences as his reason for leaving the band. He was regarded as the band's strongest singer with the widest vocal range. He has a wide tenor vocal range and is known for his belting and falsetto singing techniques and hitting high notes with his vocals. Malik was known as the Bradford Bad Boy.
Sounds like a pot noodle.
Malik was known as the Bradford Bad Boy of One Direction due to his mischievous behaviour, his many tattoos and rock star hairstyles. Since prior to X Factor, Malik has been a fan of tattoos, saying that he likes getting tattoos and that he loves the whole culture behind them.
Deep.
Yeah, really deep, man.
His first tattoo was revealed on his Twitter account. Malik got his grandfather's name in Arabic. Since then, Malik has had several more tattoos. Discussing Malik's possible solo career after leaving the boy band, Billboard editor Joe Lynch described him as the quiet one in the group, never one to grab the spotlight during interviews. He typically saved the words for the songs, not for media soundbites. I just read uncharismatic from that sentence.
Yeah, that's how I read that as well. He's definitely my least favourite.
What?
I don't know, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Malik dated fellow X Factor contestant Geneva Lane, former member of Belle Ami. I mean, I'm reading them out.
Some of these you can forget, like them.
Way ahead of you. Malik dated fellow X Factor contestant Geneva Lane, forgotten about, former member of Belle Ami, also forgotten about, in 2010, and then Rebecca Ferguson for 4 months.
They were about 16, 17, weren't they, during the X Factor? And she was like mid-20s with a kid, like a proper adult woman. And if it was the other way around, it would have been creepy as fuck. But because she's a woman, it's fine.
Yeah.
Everyone just goes, nice. And that's it.
He dated actress Stephanie Davis for 5 months in 2011.
Good old Steph.
I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't watch Big Brother anymore.
Maybe you should. Well, I'll tell you about Big Brother, right?
I know what Big Brother is. Who is Stephanie Davis?
She was on the recent Celebrity Big Brother.
She's a Hollyoaks actress originally.
Right, okay, because you can't be on Celebrity Big Brother unless you've done something first.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hollyoaks.
And this was Hollyoaks.
Mainly Hollyoaks.
Okay.
And she's just awful. One of the worst humans.
I don't think we need to talk about it too much. You can just literally go on. Okay.
Have I just worked out why you don't like Zayn Malik, Chris, from the next sentence?
Oh, I think you have.
He began dating Perry Edwards of Little Mix in early 2012.
Do you know what? That might be like a subconscious thing.
Uh-huh. Because you've got a little bit of a soft spot for Perry, is that?
She's my favourite out of Little Mix, and I love Little Mix. Don't forget about Little Mix.
I was.
They were on my Spotify playlist, winning playlist.
Your winning playlist.
Yeah. I don't want it to, obviously, heaven forbid, this turn into a lads podcast. But obviously, Leanne is the best Little Mix. Obviously.
Yeah. I don't want it to turn into lads either. And I'm happy that we've all got different tastes. And
I'm
interests.
Not. I think Perry is a fucking minger, mate.
So he began dating Perry Edwards of Little Mix in early 2012, and they got engaged in 2013.
Yeah, it's probably why I don't like him.
Yeah, it could be it, couldn't it? On the 4th of August 2015, however, Malik's representative confirmed that the couple had ended their engagement.
There you go.
Brilliant.
You can get in there now.
Happy.
You and Perry forever.
Sitting in a tree.
I was bewitched.
I find like Midar. I can make pop cultural references as long as they're
from the 90s.
As long as they're from the 90s, then I'm fine. Since November 2015, he has been seen on dates with American model Gigi Hadid. Do you know who that is?
A model?
Yeah, no.
But I know she's a model, but I don't really know anything about her.
Malik is Muslim. He tweeted the Islamic Declaration of Faith in 2012. He speaks English and Urdu and can read Arabic. He has received abuse in the form of anti-Muslim slurs, which at one point led him to temporarily deleting his Twitter account. He is an official ambassador of the British Asian Trust charity group. During the 2014 IDF siege on Gaza, Malik posted the message Free Palestine on Twitter, resulting in him receiving angry responses and death threats. There's a discography at the end here. He's only released one single on his own, Pillow Talk, this year. Got to number one in the UK and Australia and Canada and Ireland and New Zealand and Sweden and the USA. I'm seeing the pain, seeing the pleasure. Nobody but you, body but me, body but us, bodies together. I love to hold you close tonight and always. I love to wake up next to you. Only got to number three in Italy, though. Loser! What a loser. I mean, well done. That's really impressive, yeah. Isn't it?
Who do you think will be the first one to quit WikiShuffle?
You.
Yeah, I think
yeah, we've already established that it's most likely to be you because you're going to North Korea.
You're never coming back from North Korea. And I don't think you can record a podcast.
I'm not sure what their attitude will be on podcasting from within the borders of North Korea since I don't even...
I'm going for 3 days.
Especially
I'm
not this
like,
one.
See, you're only supposed to be there for 3 days. I can see you ending up there a lot longer because you caused some kind of international incident.
What can I possibly do?
Clumsily stumble into the demilitarized zone just by accident.
Neither of you have ever seen me on my best behavior. But
no,
it can be done. I'll be fine. Anyway, it's going to be due to musical differences.
Oh, look, he featured on a single with Chris Brown. That's a good artistic choice to make,
nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Associate yourself with Chris Brown as much as you want. He's in no way. Nearly used the C word again, but...
Use it. Oh, come on, it's Chris Brown. Yeah. If anyone deserves it, say it, Phil.
Chris Brown's a cunt, isn't
he? Yeah, he is. He really is.
Mega Chip Potato!
Whoa.
Which Marvel film's he in?
I really need a haircut. I've got a proper fucking mullet going.
Yeah, you have. It's quite crazy. I think you should just shave it all off as an experiment. See what happens.
It won't be the first time.
Really?
I wouldn't now. I've seen pictures. I've seen pictures of Phil with no beard and no head pad.
Whoa. Talking about Mega Chip Potato.
Mega Chip is a round white potato variety with good tuber size and specific gravity for chipping.
What does that mean?
This is like that brain article from last week again. I don't understand, even though it's about potatoes.
Well, the tuber, that's a potato is a type of tuber. So the tuber is the potato lump itself.
It's an instrument. Tuber's a brass instrument, you idiot.
That's with an A. This is T-U-B-E-R.
And what does that mean?
It's root vegetables. The actual lump that you eat is the tuber part.
No, it's not.
What? No, I'd have thought...
No, we did say mallet.
I'd have thought,
and now he's talking about like agriculture from olden times.
This is his area of expertise. Specialised subject. Tubing vegetables.
Tubers are enlarged structures in some plant species used as storage organs for nutrients. They are used for the plant's perenniation, survival of the winter or dry months, to provide energy and nutrients for regrowth during the next growing season, and as a means of asexual reproduction. Common plant species with stem tubers include potato and yam. Some sources also treat modified lateral roots, root tubers, under the definition. These are encountered in sweet potato, cassava and dahlia.
We deserve that. After all the X-Factor stuff.
I was right.
What?
It's the lumpy, fleshy bit that you want.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you just say that?
I pretty much said that.
Could have just said that. Saved us all the hassle.
So what's the gravity? Why is gravity important in chippings?
It's for good for chipping.
Why?
Like,
right,
so that it lies nicely.
The specific gravity is your water content, I believe, your water to starch ratio.
All right, good.
Oh my God.
Shall I qualify this in explaining that I did used to work in a crisp factory?
Oh, what? Of course you did. Of course you did. What do you mean? Where?
I used to work for Golden Wonder.
In Corby?
In Corby.
Shut up.
Yeah.
My nan used to work there.
I didn't work in the factory. I worked. I
of course
there.
You didn't.
He was chief tuber.
Don't assume that my nan worked in the factory either, motherfucker. She was the CEO. You sexist, anti-Irish pig.
I didn't know she was Irish.
Who else is going to work in a potato factory?
Tell us about your job at the potato factory.
Yeah, tell
I
us,
did the
please.
Demand planning at the potato factory.
How much demand was there for tuber?
Well, lots, because that was the prime ingredient. That was the main thing that there was demand for.
Yeah.
But I did the... Oh, this isn't interesting to anybody, is it?
Yeah, keep yeah, going. I mean, it's
know.
Not. It's
you need
not.
To know your backstory.
Yeah. this is your origin
this
story.
Is my origin story about when I was bitten by a radioactive potato.
Mega chip potato, go! How did you turn into a massive potato?
My job was to produce the forecast of how many crisps we were going to sell.
Potato forecast.
It's like the little potato weatherman.
I was kind of the potato weatherman, yeah. This is an important job. In an industrial environment, you need to know, particularly potatoes. In the world of fast-moving consumer goods, you need to know how much of a particular commodity to produce. And my job was to work out, realistically, how many packets of crisps we were going to sell that week so that we could make an appropriate number of appropriate flavours of bags of crisps.
So you needed to say to Gary, who's in charge of like the tubing, we need to get... So, Gary, on Wednesday, we're going to make a lot of crisps. I've worked out the forecast.
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah.
We need X amount of potatoes.
Yeah. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly what it involved, yeah.
I've got a chart.
Literally the worst job anyone's ever had.
How do you think this works? How could it work without that person being in place? What, you'd just make a random number of crisps that day?
So you were like Michael Fish, but for potatoes. You were Michael Potato.
That implies that Michael Fish predicts fish.
That was his side job.
How did you predict the potatoes? What did you do?
Was it just a feeling?
Did you just get a hunch? It's a lot more complicated than that.
That's what weather forecasting is.
It's a lot more complicated than that. It would be based on a number of factors. Historic sales and product mix would be a big factor.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest factor in modern fast-moving consumer goods sales is promotional activity. Once upon a time, your sales through supermarkets and that were very seasonal. That seasonality has given way to whether or not something's on promotion. So if there's a bog-off going on at Asda, then the demand is going to massively spike during that promotion. It will be my job to collate the information from that promotion.
See which potatoes have got the most followers on Twitter.
That kind of thing, yeah. Work out the flavour mix within that particular promotion, because obviously there'd be different flavours of crisps being offered up on that same promotion, and then split the demand and the production accordingly. And then I'd feed that information to our production planner, who I would work with, and she would schedule which line would make which flavour of crisp on which day and how many of.
So if the King Edward potato was like trending massively on Instagram. You'd get Deborah involved.
No, you see, this is where it comes down to the specific gravity for chipping, because different types of potato are suitable for crisps and chips and mash, and others aren't so much.
Which one is suitable for mash?
King Edward's a masher, isn't it?
Which one is suitable for chipping?
Now, the mega chip potatoes.
Which one is suitable for crisps?
Traditionally,
the same as chipping ones?
Golden Wonder got its name because they made their crisps from the Golden Wonder variety potato.
Interesting.
This is why he's the potato weatherman.
However, they don't use those anymore, and I cannot remember the variety. There was a couple of varieties.
This is why he's not the potato weatherman anymore.
And I can't remember what they were called, but they were obscure things.
So what was the best flavour?
the most popular flavour.
No, the best. I said the best, didn't I? The okay. best. What was the best?
Well, so, okay, in my opinion...
Yeah.
Well, your professional
flavor,
opinion.
The best flavour that Golden Wonder make is the sausage and tomato flavour.
Oh, I didn't predict that.
No. Well, we're talking to the expert.
But you're a vegetarian.
It didn't have any real sausage in.
Well, then what's the point?
Just savoury goodness.
That would be good if you got a bag of crisps and just had little chunks of sausage in it.
Would it?
Yeah. And you could scoop them up.
Thanks for the mime, because I was struggling.
Hang on. Right, let me just get this straight in my head, because this is all new information.
Yep.
And I'm expecting that the listeners are reeling from all of this.
Uh-huh. It's a lot to take on at once, so I'll give you that.
So you predicted potatoes.
Yeah.
And you got paid for that.
Yeah.
And then what if you did it wrong?
Everyone's going to do it as a hobby.
Did you ever do it? Did you ever? I don't know. Look at you. Did you ever do it?
In my spare time? No, I'm not a weirdo.
Yes, you are. Did you ever do it wrong?
Oh, all the time. It was really hard.
Okay.
It was really hard because some promotions would just die on their ass and you'd have no way of doing it.
Were you predicting it for this factory specifically or for the whole of Golden Wonder?
The whole of Golden Wonder.
So you were like the big cheese in the potato factory. Well, you were the decision man.
I was the decision man. I was involved in the process. It was a team effort.
Very diplomatic.
No system can be over reliant on one component. That's just a structural weakness there. So we were a team in the planning department. But yeah, I was a pretty big cog in that machine.
How much money did you get paid for doing
pretty big
potato
cog in the potato machine? No, I was getting paid about 24 grand.
Okay. In this must be a while ago.
This was 2007 and 8.
Short tenure.
This is when you left your current job on a sabbatical to do some potato forecasting and then you came back.
That's,
is that right?
That's exactly what happened, yeah. I went away to see the world.
World of potatoes.
World of potatoes.
Potato sabbatical.
And I left because the owners of the company were massive fucking racists and I couldn't tolerate to be around them.
In what way? Who did they hate most?
There was I'm going to just say this because it happened and they were absolute nasty pieces of work. They got taken over by an Irish company, Tato.
Tato, yeah.
Took them over, and there was one, the sales director in particular, whose name I can't remember. He was in one sales meeting I was in. It was ready to get started, and he was just having a little friendly josh with one of the sales managers who happened to be Jewish. And the rhyme that he quoted to him was, "I'd rather be a Paki than a Jew," is what he said in front of everybody in a kind of terraces type chant. "I would rather be a Paki than a Jew."
How did the guy? What did the guy say?
Oh, he was all very matey and pally about it, and it was like, "Yeah, you're right." It was just disgusting. The whole attitude of them was just thoroughly unpleasant.
That put such a bad taste in your mouth. Like
it really did.
Like a sausage and tomato crisp.
No. You needed lots of sausage and tomato crisp to compensate for the
seedy prawn cocktail.
The seedy racist underbelly of the potato industry.
Yeah.
You didn't predict that, though. You should have had that on your weather prediction.
You should do the next panorama about potatoes.
Could. Yeah.
BBC potato correspondent.
Horrible. I'm qualified.
How have I not heard this before? This is incredible. Oh, just so much detail there. What article are we doing?
The mega chip potato.
We're talking about the mega chip potato, which is one I've never even heard of.
You've never heard of it?
No.
It's not a big potato.
But it is a big potato. That's the first thing we know about it.
But it's not like one of the big ones.
That I'm aware of, but there's lots and lots of different varieties.
It's Maris Piper.
No. It's Maris Piper not.
I think that's a fluffy one, isn't it?
You're the expert.
I really can't remember. I can't remember because I didn't actually do the purchasing, so I would just say we need this many potatoes. I didn't really care about variety and things like this.
We need this many potatoes.
Yeah,
we need this many potatoes now.
Yeah, but we would be... And that conversation happened really quite regularly because we would get... But the potatoes would be delivered by the truckload. So it would be... So we'd get sort of two trucks.
Deborah, I need six... trucks of potatoes now, stat.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, I wouldn't make that phone call.
Who would?
One of your underlings.
The purchasing guy.
Oh, it's a lot to take in.
It's a fast-moving world.
So, how... I think maybe we should move on and leave.
I think we've done enough. You feel like we might revisit this again in the future now?
I think
you know
so.
Yeah.
Because we've taught you a lot about X Factor today.
Yeah.
And you've taught us a lot about potatoes.
Okay.
It's all very mutually beneficial. This podcast. It's great, you know, because I didn't know today that I'd learn a lot about potatoes and the crisp industry.
Well, we're quite Reithian in our outlook, really.
Quite. What does that mean?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Reithian.
Reith was the founder of the BBC, and he set out the principles of that the BBC should inform, educate, and entertain.
Inform, educate, kind of the same thing.
Not necessarily, because things can be current affairsy that aren't necessarily educational. Like,
I know,
arguably, Zayn Malik's face tattoo is not that educational, but it is informative.
Yeah, but I'm grouping all that boring stuff together.
Right, yeah.
So entertaining is really where we want to be. We haven't done any of that.
No.
But we've still done all the boring stuff. So there's still time. There's we've got the outro to do, so...
Well, we don't know anything about the Megachip potato yet.
Oh, yeah. Let's do the article, shall we?
It's a round white potato variety with a good-sized tuber and specific gravity for chipping. It was developed at the Rhinelander Agricultural Research Station in Wisconsin and was the result of a cross between the Whiz Chip and the FYF85 and several years of selection. This cross, resulting in the Mega Chip, was made in 1985. It produces high-quality chips that have an excellent colour both from the field and after storage.
As a chip man...
Really not how I refer to myself on my business cards.
As a chip man, when you go into a shop, no, a chippy, when it's right. summer and it says we're now frying new potatoes, does your heart just sink? Because it does mine.
Yeah, that's not what you want. Yeah,
oh, new potatoes. Like, you might as well not even bother.
Well, you still do, though, don't you?
I do, yeah. But I'll just like put more salt and vinegar on to mask the hideous texture of a new potato in a chip. Yeah, just thought I'd get that in there because it's a gripe. It's a big gripe.
And you're talking about the storage conditions and how the consistency of the potato stays.
That's exactly what
and
I was talking about.
That's something that they've clearly addressed in the genetic engineering of the mega chip.
Was it? I wasn't listening.
Several years of selection, they've said, resulting in high quality chips that have an excellent colour both from the field and after storage. So you get a consistency.
Ah.
And you eradicate that seasonality, which used to be a lot more prominent than it is today in a lot of foods.
One day, I'm going to like look back on my life and realise I spent 45 minutes talking to a potato man.
We spent 61 episodes talking to a potato man, we just didn't realise. Did you know this, Chris?
I didn't know the details of the potato man. I knew you worked at Golden Wonder.
The agricultural features of the super chip... That's not what it's called, is it? The mega chip. Is that it has a high level of resistance to common scab, moderately resistance to foliar early blight, powdery scab, pink rot, dry rot, and soft rot.
Were these all factors in your forecasting?
Although the seasonality was reduced.
High rot to the south today. But soft rot up north with some sprinkling of salt.
It kind of was a consideration because the price of potato would fluctuate really quite significantly. While I was there, we had one really wet summer, and so all of the potatoes were coming out of the ground sort of semi-rotten already, and there was a real potato shortage, and that really pushed the price up.
The great
really,
potato
how
shortage.
Was the feeling in the office at that point?
It was nervous.
Yeah.
And when you get a truck full of half-rotten potatoes, it was really grim as well.
Mm.
I didn't have to deal with them, obviously.
So they would turn up with half-rotten potatoes. Yep. They turn up with half-rotten potatoes and, what, expect you to pay for them?
Yeah, well, we'd have to turn them away.
Wow. And where would they go and put the potatoes? In a bin?
Not really my problem.
Potato bin?
No. I can tell you where all the crisps went to when we accidentally...
I'm not interested.
No, I am. I want to hear... I've got to follow it through. Come on.
So what would happen is that we would make too many crisps for promotion. Then...
Someone's job to eat.
Well, yeah, that was my job.
Great.
What would happen is I fucked my job up significantly.
Well, there are a couple of things that we could do. So if we realised straight away, because we used to own brand the crisps for all the supermarkets, so what sometimes happened, and this was preposterous.
When you say when that, can you explain?
So different supermarkets like Asda and Sainsbury's and Tesco's would have their own brands of crisps, so they'd use their own packaging for the crisps, but they're all the same.
So what you're saying is that Golden Wonder crisps are just the own brand crisps in a different package?
It's not quite as straightforward as that.
Okay.
I watched a programme once about this. I think I know. Tell me if I'm wrong, Phil. But
why don't you just let Phil tell us?
No, I'm going to try and... I wanted to have a guess, because I think I might be right. So when companies like Golden Wonder do all the potatoes, when you're forecasting it, and Gary's there doing the phones, Trevor's making sure the trucks are in, whatever. So Asda have a specific recipe for their crisps.
Yep.
But Golden Wonder will make them.
Yes.
It all depends on economies of scale.
Pretty much, yeah. So, generally speaking, the flavouring that would be used on the own brand ones would be of a cheaper consistency. There wouldn't be as much flavour, and it wouldn't be quite as good. However, when you got things like the Ready Salted, where the only ingredient of flavouring is salt, then pretty much they would be the same product. However, if you go for the first pass of potatoes, you get the bigger ones, and so we'd use the bigger potatoes for the Golden Wonder, and then
that
the smaller
makes sense.
Potatoes that were a bit bittier and not as good, they would go into the own brand. But there wouldn't be, most of the time, because Golden Wonder don't really sell that many crisps, there wouldn't be that much difference in the potato quality.
That's,
but the flavouring would make a difference. So what would happen was, for some times, when we massively overproduced, we would literally, and this is preposterous that this happened, take all the crisps that have been made, empty out the packets, and rebag them.
Going to do a rebagging?
Do a rebagging. That is preposterous. You just can't imagine that that could ever be cost effective, but sometimes that would happen. Other times, we would clear out the overproduced stuff through places like Home Bargains and stuff like that, so they've got much shorter use-by dates on the places in those. And then our final port of call would be the prison service. So the crisps that were just properly about to go out of date or even had gone out of date would then get sold very cheaply to the prisons. See, that's genuinely interesting, isn't it?
But I think we've been learning about this for so long that now something has clicked in my brain and I've started to find it quite interesting.
Okay, good.
Stockholm Syndrome, I think.
Yeah, that's it. That's
all I've got for now. One more thing, and then we'll round up on the potatoes. What was the most exciting day you had at the chip factory? The most exciting, like, potato day. Like, a day when, like, loads of potatoes came in and they were really good. Like, just exciting.
When the lorry turned up and they were really good potatoes, were you like, oh my God, this is awesome?
This is the
best
potato day.
Look at all these wicked potatoes.
And was it called potato day when they turned up?
It would happen, like, three times a week. So it really wasn't that much of a spectacle.
Potato day nearly every day.
The thing that I remember most was doing a taste trial for some new Taste the Difference sort of high premium brand, own brand crisps. And there was a whole bunch of different prawn cocktails to try. That was great because they were all really good and some of them were proper good.
All right, okay, one more thing. One more thing and then we're done. If I give you a packet of crisps, which I'm sure has happened in the past, and you go, oh, thanks, Chris, I'm going to eat these crisps. If I've got you shit crisps, do you know? Like, it's not because they don't taste very nice, but do you know by the quality of the potatoes? Is that something you've got?
Sometimes, yeah, I can tell if...
Do you, like, go, oh, that's a bad potato?
Not so much the potatoes themselves, because the general quality is pretty consistent in this country now anyway. Mm. What you can tell, the thing that I'm good at spotting, is a bad salt and vinegar flavour.
Oh, yes.
Salt and vinegar is very prone to going rancid, the flavouring that's used there. And so it can still be in date, but it goes really, really unpleasant.
Yep.
And
you get that a lot with the cheaper brands.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, it tastes like, I don't know how to describe it.
Rancid is the technical term.
Oh, well, yeah, I suppose it would be.
Inert flavours, you can just carry on using for literally years without them having any use-by-date issues.
Wow. Any more?
Thanks for listening to the Potato Cast.
The podcast. My head is mashed.
Given that the article's only 5 lines long, I think we've got quite a bit of material out of that. What do you reckon?
Did, yeah.
Thank you for listening to episode 61 of WikiShuffle, the most rancid-flavoured episode yet. We'll be back again next week for more potato news.
What's going on in the world of potatoes? Phil already knows. He's forecasting it.
This was 2007, 2008, but have you kept to date with the potato world since then?
He has, hasn't he?
He fucking has! He's kept up to date. You can see it in his face. He has Googled... How's the potato stocks doing?
No, because that was never what I cared about. I've always... if ever you go shopping with me, you will notice that I dawdle in the crisp aisle to see what the brand mix and the flavour mix is doing at the moment.
Wow.
Because it just interests me.
Potatoes.
Yeah, so you can see that if you notice the proportion of the aisle that's taken up by just bog-standard crisps has shrunk to about half the size it was even 10 years ago. Because people just want fancier things now.
So the forecast isn't good for the potatoes?
Well, it's just different. The overall volume's still the same, but it's more your sort of kettle chips and...
I've got a bit of a confession to make.
What's that?
I don't like posh crisps.
I know, it's... I agree. In reality, a good old-fashioned, ready-salted crisp is the best.
Yeah. Kettle chips, I think, are gross. Sensations, never bothered with them. I don't even like Walkers that much, but, you know, give me a Monster Munch or another council estate variety and I will gobble them down like there's no tomorrow. It's just my taste, I guess. Space Invader me up.
I'm sorry, this is just, this fascinated me, this potato thing. Did you do, like, any other sort of crisps, other than, like, your standard crisp? Like, did you do a wacky one? Like, a what's it?
Yeah, we did...
Oh, you did the twirly reds packet. Like what's it's, but curly and maybe a bit spicy. Golden Wonder, they do a lot of things.
Yeah, they do, but I don't know what you're describing specifically.
Transformer snack.
Transformer snacks, yeah, they were in the Wensbury factory.
Of course they were.
Oh. Which ones are in your factory?
We, at Corby, we did specifically just crisps. And we also had a contract to do the, and you probably won't remember these, mini Pringles.
Oh, I remember these, yeah.
Mini Pringles?
Yeah, they did them in a
pack. A little pack of mini Pringles.
I didn't know about this.
They were exorbitantly expensive, and you got like 5% of a tube of Pringles, and they'd be gone in about 3 seconds, and they weren't in any way satisfying.
They're a bit more fun to forecast.
No, because I didn't do the forecasting for them, because we were subletting space, so I didn't actually involve myself in those at all.
You just stuck to the crispy name.
Yeah. We did knickknacks for a bit. And
that'd be fun.
And love we crunchies knick-knacks. For a bit, but we'd sold those off, so that was only the first couple of months
we crunchies.
There.
Yeah, we crunchies. And now Walkers?
They are.
That's not right.
Well, it's
and how did you
works.
I mean, we have, I mean, I don't mean to drag this podcast on for any longer than it needs to be, but I mean, yeah, you've got the whole potato side of the business, but what about once you get into maize and wheat and
the extruded snack side of the business?
Yeah.
That's
what I was trying to say.
Because the whole process is entirely different, because they say baked, not fried, that's because what they effectively do to make Wotsits and all of those things under the family of extruded snacks, they're cooked by heat generated by pressure.
Yeah,
so effectively
an idiot.
What you get is a great big lump of battery stuff that you then squeeze through a massive Play-Doh machine.
Ooh.
And then they sort of come out and it spins and it chops them off as it goes.
It's pretty
cool to watch.
So when you're like the pre-form before it's made into a Wotsit shape, is that kind of like the form it takes once you've chewed a Wotsit for a while? It's like just kind of weird mush.
I guess I can't remember what it looked. I don't know that I ever saw it actually.
Well, this has been fascinating.
Yeah.
You can talk about the QI podcast all you like. You can talk you should know. But this is proper potato chat.
Yeah, I mean, if we did our first podcast, which no one will remember, where it's just me and you interviewing people, we just had the potato man on. This would have been our best episode.
Easy.
If it wasn't actually on this one, and you were a guest.
Yeah, if I was on QI and crisps came up, I would know a damn sight more than Joe Brand.
Yeah, you would. I think you know more than anyone. I think you know more than anyone about potatoes.
If Johnny Vegas was on, he'd probably know a bit more. Just through experience, you pick these things up. If you're going to eat 15 packets a day, you're going to just...
Was he a brand ambassador?
I don't believe so.
Obviously, Walkers has Gary Lineker and now Jamie Vardy. But what celebrities were involved with the Golden Wonder brand?
None.
Who was celebrating
Golden
knick-knacks?
Wonder as a brand was dying on its ass.
It was, yeah.
Until you came and rescued it.
No, not really. No, it's still dying on its ass, but they had all the own brand business. So Tato came in and bought them out for.
Tato, have you tried the
cheese and onion?
Cheese and onion chocolate.
Cheese and onion chocolate, no.
It was chocolate with cheese and onion crisps inside the chocolate. And it was good. It doesn't sound good, it sounds awful, but it was quite nice.
Oh. One of the things that Golden Wonder had the license for while I was there, but they never actually made.
We're still going. Chris has fallen off his chair.
You might be interested in this one, Chris.
Go on.
One of the things that Golden Wonder had the license for, but never actually made... was Iron Brew flavoured crisps.
Whoa!
So you perked up a little bit. You thought it was going to be another doll
story. Hang on. They didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
They have the licence.
They had the licence.
So like when big Hollywood corporations keep a script back or an idea and they're just like, no, we're not making the film, but we just want to own the rights to it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So no one else can do it.
Yeah.
They're doing that with Iron Brew right now.
I don't know if they're still doing it now, but they were at the time.
Oh, I'm furious. That's the greatest idea of all time.
I don't really know what it would taste like.
It would taste like soggy Iron Brew crisps.
Yeah, but they're not going to be soggy because that wouldn't work.
Well, then obviously they will because you're pouring Iron Brew into the packets. That's how I imagine they would be made.
That wouldn't work. That wouldn't
Fizzy
work.
Crisps.
You're just going to end up with a packet
carbonated
of mush.
Crisps. Hang on, that exists. Roysters should do Iron Brew. And then everyone's happy. You got your bubbled chip effect, you've got your brew taste. It's done.
I mean,
it's in the bag. Crisp
we
of the
worry
year.
About alienating other international audiences. With the case of Iron Brew, we're alienating anyone outside the perimeter of Corby.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Scotland.
To wrap up.
For God's sake, wrap this up. For God's sake.
No, because this has been my favourite episode by far. This is the most fun I've ever had doing this podcast. Genuinely. What's happened? I've got right into this. I haven't checked the football scores in ages.
Okay, let's... I tell you what, if people want to know more about the crisp industry as much as I can divulge,
Tweet you.
Then send us some questions. If you've got any queries that you've got about how crisps are made, what the most popular flavours are.
Yeah. And next week, we'll do a crisp roundup. Well, every week.
Possibly every week.
We'll have Chris's segment where... What is it you do?
Let's bring shit in.
Oh, yeah. Show and tell.
Bye.
Bye.
But we should mention... We should... Well, we haven't plugged, like, our...
Oh, yeah.
...stuff.
Who are we?
The stuff we do.
Oh, yeah. I did that on Pick a Flick.
Yeah.
That's what we need to plug. Pick a Flick.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, we were on Pick a Flick.
No, yeah, we were.
And we talked about some
films. I hosted it.
Yeah.
It was a shambles.
It was an absolute shambles. I got drafted in at the 11 and a half hour.
Yeah, I had to force you. It was pretty difficult.
Yeah.
But we got through.
Somebody dropped out, so I jumped in and reviewed two films I've not seen.
Mm. Yeah, we got through
it. Always fun.
What films?
Alan Moore films. So Watchmen and Viva Vendetta, things like that.
Never seen Watchmen, but Viva Vendetta is shite.
It is.
Okay.
I think we said that.
Yeah. Good. Good.
That's what we said. And then we talked about Evil Dead 2.
Yes. So is this... We're recording this a bit in advance. Is this Pick a Flick
episode
It should
be out now.
I just think it'll be out by now. Yeah, this is next Tuesday.
Get the Pick a Flick podcast feed on your app of choice. Download away to listen to Chris shambolically hosting something.
It was crazy. There's a reason I don't host this at all, ever.
At WikiShufflePod on the Twitters, WikiShuffle on Facebook and Tumblr and
Instagram,
and wikishuffle.co.uk is our website, which we are going to do some work on updating and making nicer because it's a bit drab at the moment. We keep saying we're going to do that, but we are going to do that. Or send us a postcard, WikiShuffle HQ 1B Headlands Kettering NN157ER.
Phil, you've got a remarkably long eyebrow.
I know, right, just now. The one, isn't it?
Just the one. I get that as well, but it's just the fact that it's pointing upwards. It's become quite a distraction. Just thought I'd let you know.
A sexy distraction.
Just thought I'd let you know. I wouldn't say sexy.
Oh, I would.
Is that it? Can we go now?
We've got to go now. Let's go.
All right. I hope you've enjoyed this potato special. And we'll see you next week for more potato chat. All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Can I have spuds, please?
Spuds! Good choice. George's song. Listen very carefully. The question comes straight after.
Big potato changed my life. Big potato showed me the way. If you want to know what is wrong from right, you must listen to what potatoes say.
Do be good, don't be bad. Don't be happy, don't be sad.
Thank you, baked potato. And if you want to have a better day, you must listen to what the big potato say.
Do be early, don't be late.
Thank you, baked potato.
Always eat what's on your plate.
Thank you, baked potato. And if you want to have a better day, you must listen to what the baked potato say.
P-O-T-A-T-O.
Baked potato!
Yay! Baked potato!
It was a song about the baked potato! Thank you, goodbye!
You like it a lot. Well, a song about baked potato. Marika, the question is quite simple. Can you name me three films or television shows that take the name from a way of preparing potatoes? Jamie, you're the top end top.
Mash
is one, it's good,
Mash.
It's one, it's given.
Mash. Chips.
Yeah.
Chips. Chips. Californian Highway
Come
Patrol.
Come on.
Sorty Denied Fever.
Come on.
I can't get it.
Come on.
Sorty Denied Fever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.